This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back on a rainy Thursday afternoon. I saw one of the dumbest things I've ever read in my life. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. It was actually an op-ed in the New York Times that made the case that the Chinese Communist Party is a worthy partner in raising children. Well, here to talk about that with me is my buddy Liz Wolf. Liz is an associate editor at Reason.com. Her latest piece, actually, the CCP is the worst co-parent imaginable. Hey, Liz, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks for coming on the show. I know you've been a little busy lately, right?
Yeah, I just came back from maternity leave a few weeks ago.
Congratulations and welcome back.
Thank you. I will not be letting the CCP help me raise my son.
I almost fell out of the chair, Liz, when I read this piece and I saw that you had posted about it. So I took the time to actually look up this op-ed from fashion designer Heather Kay, who is an American who raised two daughters in Shanghai. And she was going on actually lauding the CCP. And Liz, she was pretty specific about her reasons why, right?
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely despicable. She basically talks about how, you know, the CCP sets limits on the amount of time children can spend playing video games, and the Great Firewall and some of the internet censorship is actually really great in terms of making sure her kids don't access inappropriate material. And on one hand, I get where she's coming from. Many parents share that concern. But in the U.S., we have parental controls that you can just easily access in order to make sure your kids aren't looking at inappropriate things. But, you know, that doesn't come with heavy-handed government censorship. Your kids should still be able to access information about things their government does wrong. And a child growing up in China is not able to do so.
Yeah, she was actually bragging about the virtues of this. The heavy censorship, she writes, creates a kid-friendly internet, and that the tight control of the Communist Party surveillance state results in its own kind of freedom. I mean, the fact that somebody could actually put words like that on, well, not paper, but, you know, on a computer screen is just absolutely mind-boggling. The tight control of the Communist Party surveillance state results in its own kind of freedom. This is like the, what do they call it, the Stockholm Syndrome? Right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, in that section, she, to be fair to her, she's referring to low crime rates in the neighborhood in Shanghai that they were living in. To which my response is, well, guess what? A lot of American parents are overly concerned with letting their kids play outside. A lot of people have this very inflated view of crime in some places. And I think the milk carton kids and a lot of the stranger danger panic of the 80s and 90s really led to that. But if you actually look at the statistics, kids today are a whole lot safer than in the 50s and 60s when parents freely let them run around the neighborhood. So obviously a parent should exercise their own discretion and, you know, assess their own neighborhood. But to some degree, you can kind of prepare kids for a greater degree of independence than what we allow in the U.S. We don't have to live under an authoritarian, tyrannical communist state in order for kids to be able to go walk to the corner store or play outside.
Yeah, I mean, if we wanted to use the heavy hand of government to, quote unquote, keep us safe even more, yeah, we could probably end crime. We could do lots of different things, although I don't think those things work in the end. I mean, obviously, China wasn't able to stamp out COVID with its zero COVID policy. But yeah, I mean, if we want to destroy freedom in the name of public safety and then argue then that that's safety because you can walk down the streets without getting attacked, there's actually people that believe in that and believe in that mindset. But I mean, they're kidding themselves, right? They're living in an alternate reality to think that that's actually a kind of freedom. It's a sanitized version of it, but it's not real.
Yeah, it's horrifying thinking about people rationalizing that trade-off. I think I place such a high premium on my freedom, and I think one of the most important things when I think about how I want to raise my son is making sure he has the freedom to access all kinds of information and to speak freely and to criticize the government and to engage with people who have different opinions than he does. And in China, those things are a lot harder to do and they come at a very severe cost. Say Heather Kay, the author of this op-ed, say her daughters wanted to grow up and at 17 or 18, they wanted to participate in a pro-Hong Kong protest or a pro-democracy protest. Okay, well, maybe they were safe in the streets from street criminals, but guess what? They're not going to be safe from government criminals who are attempting to lock people up for exercising their free speech rights.
Yeah, exactly right, Liz Wolf. And Liz, what are some of the most egregious policies that China has? I know, especially when it comes to safety and security and everything else, but also too, when it comes to the gender of a child, and there's all kinds of wacky laws in China that you've written about, right?
Absolutely. I mean, for the past 45-ish years since Deng Xiaoping, we've had the one-child policy in China, which basically for a very long time, for about four decades, limited the number of kids a Chinese family could have to only one per couple. I'm sorry, but like I'm the oldest of four. I love being from a big family. To tell people that they can only have one child, that they can't have as many children as they want, is such a horrific example of government overreach. And it also resulted in all kinds of terrible consequences from that, like when parents had one child and then conceived a second child, perhaps on accident. A lot of the times it's led to abortions or forced sterilization or even feticide in some really extreme cases. This is not an uncommon tale in China, and this was the law of the land for the last 45 years. Thankfully, it was reversed in 2021. But my God, this is, you know, generations of people living in China who did not have the ability to have the type of family life that they wanted to.
And doesn't this also tie into nut jobs like Paul Ehrlich and others and, you know, Al Gore screaming about boiling oceans, where they talk about the population bomb? And so limiting population, you know, there's such virtue in that, where you can actually maybe save the planet by limiting the number of children people can have. And of course, it's nonsense. But they also, I mean, they love China's one child policy for that reason.
Yeah, it's pretty despicable. I try to tune all of them out as much as possible, especially Greta Thunberg. I would really love to never hear from her ever again. but no, I mean, I think these people miss something really important, which is that when you limit population, you're also limiting human ingenuity. You're limiting the number of people from whom brilliant ideas about how to solve our most pressing problems might spring forth. It's really awful. I think there's this antisocial strain to it that should really leave people feeling kind of concerned and suspicious. I was reading accounts over the weekend of people who'd been influenced by Paul Ehrlich, some of whom had said he was so influential that he affected their decision not to have kids. And now in old age, they have no kids and no grandkids. I'm sorry, but that's tragic to me. And so I think it's really important that people spreading that type of thing think wisely about what type of path they're leading other people down.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Liz Wolf. You're exactly right. Well, listen, I always appreciate you keeping us informed on this stuff. And, you know, it's a great piece. I'll post a link to it. It is scary, though, that there's a mindset out there of people that praise China. We heard this also with COVID. I mean, we heard Fauci and Justin Trudeau praising China's tactics and saying it could keep people safer. And I think the real battle for freedom really comes down to that point that you know, differentiation between understanding, yeah, freedom has risks, liberty has risks, but allowing tyranny also has risks and tremendous risks. And, you know, I know you're following the World Economic Forum like I am, and I keep hearing these recurring themes about disinformation and this sort of, need to want to crack down on what people can say and what people want to talk about. And it seems like there's so many forces moving in that direction right now of trying to limit freedom in the name of safety. And from whether it's the CDC cracking down on social media and working with Facebook, like your colleague Robbie Suave wrote about, or the FBI getting involved in suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story, if we don't turn this around, we really won't be free, because the information that we get and the information we receive and the information we're allowed to share with people won't be free.
A lot of people in government and in the media, I think, fear letting normal people make decisions for themselves. And that's really important to push back on, because nobody appointed Dr. Fauci the ultimate arbiter of truth. Nobody appointed Joe Biden the ultimate arbiter of truth. And so everyday people need to be very aware of that and make sure that they have access to information and keep using their voices wisely.
Yeah, well said. Liz Wolf, always a pleasure, my friend, and best of luck with your son, and congratulations again, and we'll have you on, absolutely. Liz Wolf, Associate Editor, Reason.com. Have a great day, Liz.
Thanks so much.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, you know, my buddy, Dr. Mike Venneri, a great guy, great friend of the show, and the master of dental implants. Dr. Mike is going to give you a great smile, pediatric, general, cosmetic dentistry, and yes, those very complicated dental implants. You want to go see my buddy, Dr. Mike. He is, he's the best. He really is. My friend Rob Ortiz went to see him the other day for an emergency dental treatment. Then he went back for a cleaning because his teeth were filthy. My wife just went there for cleaning herself the other day. I go there. Reagan goes there soon. I think her first appointment, it might be in March, actually. And of course, Mama Zioli discovered Dr. Mike. It's truly a family affair. And that's what I mean. Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Go see him right on, his two offices, actually, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. There for you, there for your family, every step of the way. And you know, listen, there's a lot of dentists out there. You know this. There are a lot of dentists, big chain offices out there. You don't want to go to just any dentist. You want to go to the absolute best. That's my buddy, Dr. Mike, VenariaDental.com. And if patients can travel from Texas and Florida and California for him, you can certainly make the trip over the bridge. VenariaDental.com, Dr. Mike Venaria.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.